If God hadn't intervened in your life, where would you be this morning? That's the question the Bible is asking us. If God hadn't stepped in, if God hadn't delivered you, saved you from sin, brought you into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, brought you into the community of the people of God and under the sound of his word. And when you cried out to him, if he hadn't saved you by his grace and answered your prayers, if God hadn't done those things, where would you be? Well, that's the question the psalmist is asking. He's thinking about the intervention of God in his life. He's thinking about what God has done for him. He's thinking how God has manifested his power in his life. And so this morning, Psalm 124 is a song of deliverance. It's been a favorite psalm of many Christians down through the years. It's a psalm some Christians have sung at times of particular difficulty. In 1582 in Edinburgh, there was an imprisoned minister by the name of John Dury who was released and set free from prison. He'd been falsely accused and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And as he was released, hundreds of people welcomed him as he was released from the gates of the prison. And as they walked down the main street of Edinburgh, they began singing this psalm. And as people joined them, and as the psalm was being sung, hundreds joined. It was something that the people knew. They were used to psalm singing. They began to sing this psalm. And it said that this crowd singing this psalm, marching down the main street of Edinburgh, frightened the authorities who were seeking to persecute Christians who were preaching the gospel, frightened them more than anything else had ever done. Hundreds of believers saying, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." If you visit France, it may well be that in many of the French churches, I often will read a verse or two from a psalm at the start of a service here as a sort of welcome and to remind us of coming before God. Well, in France, very often it is Psalm 124, verse 8, which is read at the start of a worship service. "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." So just remember then, the psalm that's being sung as worshippers are making their way up to Jerusalem. People who've come from all parts of the country making their way up to one of the great feasts perhaps in that city. And the first thing that the psalm asks you to do this morning is to imagine. Imagine something, says the psalmist. If it had not been that the Lord who was on our side. Imagine God had not intervened in your life. Imagine God had not saved you. Imagine that God had not stepped in. Imagine you just left to yourself, your own desires, your own initiative, your own resources, your own wisdom. Where would you be this morning? What would you be doing? How would your life be different if God had not intervened? Just imagine. Some of the background to this psalm is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. David was crowned king at Hebron, and he went up and he conquered the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem had not been fully conquered. Not even during the time of Joshua. There were Jebusites living in Jerusalem. David goes up, he conquers the city. Then we read that the Philistines came up against David. David and his men went against them. The Philistines were routed, but there was a counterattack. In the valley of Rephidim, the Philistines returned to attack David. And David is made aware of this maneuver, and there's the danger of being caught unawares. But again, he looks to God for strength, looks to God for help. The Philistines are destroyed, and then we read these wonderful words, wonderful, of course, if you're on David's side, David drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Giza. That may well be the military background to this psalm. But the great thing about this psalm is you don't have to have that exact background for yourself as the context, because the psalm intends us to put these words into our own context. You put them this morning into your own difficulties, your own trials, your own situation. There may be particular pressures upon you this morning. And what we have here then is a picture of the child of God, the Christian, who is saying, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, the Christian in trouble, the Christian in difficulty, the Christian facing hostility, the Christian facing trials. It's a picture that's repeated over and over again, not only in the Bible, but down through the history of the church and in our lives this morning. Men and women who are trusting in the Lord and are saying, if it had not been that the Lord was on our side, we would have been overwhelmed. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. If the world hates you, bear in mind that it hated me first, says Jesus. So don't be caught off guard. Don't be surprised when trials and difficulties come into your life. In the world, you will have tribulation. Satan's prime objective is to bring you down. That's his aim. He's against everything that refers to Jesus Christ. So he'll try to manipulate and twist your mind, get you to believe the devil's lies instead of the word of God. Make life as difficult as possible for you. So just imagine, says the psalmist, where would you be if God hadn't intervened? If you didn't trust in the living Saviour, Jesus Christ. The hymn we just sang says, imagine, says the hymn writer, it isn't that I chose you, Lord, it is not that I did choose thee, for that could never be. This heart would never choose thee, hadst thou not chosen me. It's what God has done. God has intervened. God has stepped in. From the sin that stained me, you've cleansed me, set me free. Of old, you've ordained that I should live to thee, says the hymn writer. It's a testimony to God's power, God's initiative, God's work in the life of a believer. That's it, says the psalmist. That's where it begins. But now imagine, where would you be if God hadn't been at work in your life? Imagine the problems, the difficulties, the situations. Where would you be if God had not intervened? Sometimes we even think of it when something as mundane as driving along in our cars and you're on a motorway and someone pulls out in front of you. Someone who's driving the car but at the same time is on the phone. Or is driving the car and at the same time is putting on makeup. Or is driving the car and is reading a newspaper. And something happens and you slam on the brakes. And a second or two later, you feel the adrenaline in your body and you think, that was close. And then you think to yourself, God ministered, sent angels of deliverance. Imagine I wasn't a believer, you think to yourself. Imagine if God had not intervened. Well, if that can happen when you're just driving along in your car, imagine in the whole of life. What if the Lord had not been on our side, says the psalmist? If God wasn't working all things together for the good of those who love him? If God, by his covenant faithfulness, hadn't promised to do you good and to keep you and preserve you and bring you to himself? Imagine where you'd be, the darkness of it, the horror of it, the pain of it, the angst of it, if God hadn't been on our side. If you hadn't known the saving power of God, where would you be? Just imagine. And then what the psalmist does, he picks that up and he amplifies it by using pictures. C.S. Lewis said once, never read a book without pictures. I think what he meant was not literally read comics, but read books that in your mind bring pictures to your mind. That's why this is such a great psalm. Perhaps it's why it's such a favorite psalm, because it brings pictures before us, graphic pictures, showing us God's mercy, God's deliverance, God's grace. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. It's a picture. An earthquake being swallowed up alive. Just imagine you're sitting in a coffee shop and you're on holiday in a Greek island called Kos. And all of a sudden, the ground starts moving. And the crockery in the shop starts falling off the shelves. And you get thrown to the ground. And the building starts to crack. And everybody hears this terrible thundering noise, but it's coming from the ground. And the earth might swallow you up. We've heard about that, haven't we? And it's just this last week. It's happened in other countries recently. Peru, the Philippines, Japan. Buildings collapsing, the earth shaking. The earth would swallow people up. It's a graphic picture. Now, says the psalmist, imagine God wasn't on your side. Imagine you weren't trusting in the living God, in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Imagine if God hadn't laid hold of you in grace and brought you to the Savior. It'd be like being in the midst of an earthquake and the earth swallowing you up like a pit. The earth collapsing in on you. It would be the end. Life would collapse and fall apart around you. Just imagine the Lord not on your side, the picture of an earthquake. Then he uses another picture in verse 4. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Imagine you live in Coverack in Cornwall. And it's been hot, this humid weather. And then all of a sudden, thunderclouds gather, the skies go black, 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 even in the middle of the day. And you're in a little village and a month's worth of rain falls in an hour. And through that town, through that little village, comes a 4-foot flood of water. And you hear the sound of the water and you try to do all you can to protect yourself and your house, but there's not much you can do. The flood has come. And we've heard that heartbreaking story in the last week or so. People whose lives were just devastated. A flood of water whoosh right through their village. So we know exactly what this metaphor is like. I remember in Sheffield once, one of our neighbours, there was a very steep field that drained onto his house. And that sort of flash flood where lots and lots of rain falls in a very short place of time. And all the neighbours out frantically looking for anything, bricks, stones, anything to divert the flood water from his house. So we know what the psalmist is talking about. He's saying, imagine your life would be like being in an earthquake and the earth swallowing you up. It'd be like in a flood and the waters come and there's nothing you can do and the flood waters engulf you. Then in verse 6 he uses another picture. Here's a wolf, says the psalmist. And the wolf comes and he catches you with its sharp teeth. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. He hasn't been torn apart by the teeth of wolves. It's a graphic picture, isn't it? A beast of prey coming up stealthily, stalking you, and then catching you with its teeth. Or then in verse 7, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. That means like a trap. I look back now and I think to myself of, you know, God intervenes in our lives in all sorts of ways. When I was a child, we used to play in the grounds of a deserted mansion house that hadn't been lived in for many years. And in the grounds of the mansion house, there were man traps. And as children, we used to play with them. We used to get a stick and snap it down on the trap. And when we did it, of course, the trap would snapshot. Now, they were illegal, I guess. Even when I was a child, man traps would have been illegal, I should think. But imagine being caught by one of those traps, the teeth of a trap, closing in on your leg. That's what my life would have been like, says the psalmist, if it had not been for the Lord. Not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers, the trappers. The snare is broken and we've escaped. So where would you be if God had not intervened in your life? If you'd not known the intervention of God in his grace, in his saving mercy, says the psalmist, you'd be swallowed up. You'd be engulfed. You'd be caught in the teeth of some ravenous animal. You'd be trapped, and in your life there'd be no way out. And that's the testimony of some in their lives. That's the testimony of some in our society this morning. Their lives are overwhelmed, engulfed, trapped, and they see no way out. And we have a message of hope and deliverance for them. That's the testimony of the Christian. My life was falling apart like in an earthquake, and then the Lord intervened. It was like as if a tsunami was coming towards me. Flood water overflowing and engulfing me, my life. But then the Lord intervened. Like being caught by some ravenous animal in its jaws, and then the Lord intervened. It was like being caught in some trap. There's no way out, and God intervened. So this morning I think of a couple who had their first baby. All the anticipation and then the excitement of that first child being born. But then when the baby was being born, there were all sorts of complications. All sorts of difficulties. Things went wrong. And all the thoughts that went through their minds in those moments, how their lives were turned upside down. The baby was born with certain difficulties and all the complications and the difficulties that would cause. And they felt they were going to be engulfed. They were going to be overwhelmed. They were going to be trapped. And then God comes to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Surrounds them with his grace. Reminds them of this gift that God has given to them. And they know, they say, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I think of someone falling into personal sin. And there's a temptation that's just too great. And they feel they can't control it. And the threat is there to be swallowed up, entrapped by it. And then by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit that energizes and gives new strength, gives them grace to resist and then even overcome that sin so that they're not entrapped by it anymore. And that Christian says, my help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Or someone who's threatened by personal ruin, financial ruin, collapse of all their dreams, life falling apart. God steps in. Grants that sense of his assurance and help. My help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So there's many examples that every Christian here this morning could give. The disappointment of losing a job. The difficulty of feeling that you've been misunderstood and let down. The sadness of a bereavement. And there's an empty chair now in the house. The pain of a failed marriage. Dashed expectations. A friendship that's gone wrong. And you say, where would I be if God had not stepped in? But, says the Christian, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning, I want to say to you that you need to, f- first know something of this deliverance that the Lord brings in his grace by entrusting your life to him. There is such a thing that we read of as foxhole religion, where people are in difficulty and they cry out to God, "God, help me," they say. And then once the difficulty is over, they forget all about God. What the psalmist is talking about here is someone who has a living relationship with God, who knows God's salvation, has been brought out of sin and disaster by crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ to know his forgiveness, his grace, his power in their lives. So this is not just some foxhole religion, just a temporary looking to God to help me in the difficulty and then I'll get on with life and just forget about God. No, this is someone who has an ongoing relationship with God. So imagine where your life would be without God. These pictures of deliverance. And then the third thing I would ask you to think about this morning is reality. The psalmist puts it in the positive and he faces the reality. Where would you be if God had not stepped in, he says. He then puts the reality before you. If you're a Christian this morning, he puts it in the positive. Why haven't you been swallowed up? Why haven't you been overwhelmed? Why haven't you been caught by the teeth of some animal? Why haven't you been trapped? Because of the work of a sovereign God, says the psalmist. The Lord of heaven and earth is on our side. Blessed be the Lord, verse 6, who has not given us as a prey. The snare is broken and we have escaped, verse 7. Verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's our deliverer. He's our helper. He's on our side, says the psalmist. You know in the Bible that often names are important, aren't they? Names mean something. Abraham's name means the father of a multitude, father of nations. Jacob's name, deceiver. Isaac's name, he laughs. Isaiah's name, God is salvation. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses was told to go back to Egypt to be a leader to the people, to deliver them out of slavery, and to deliver people who were slaves under the world superpower of the time. And he asks God, the people will find it difficult to believe this. When I say, who sent me? Who shall I say? And God says to Moses, I'll be with you. Yes, says Moses, that's fine. But when they ask me, who sent me? Who will be with me? God says, tell them, I am that I am. That's my name. Tell them, I am has sent you. Now, what does that mean, I am? Well, it means more than just that God exists. It certainly means that, of course. But what God is saying to Moses is, a personal assurance, I am, is with you. I will be with you. All the might and power and grace of a sovereign God. I am. I'll be with you. That's what it means to trust in the Lord. Wherever you go, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, however difficult it seems, I will be with you. I am. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. Who are the people who have God on their side? The answer is those who cry to the Lord in their distress. Those who look to him for grace. Those who look to him for mercy. What does it mean to say that God is on your side this morning? It means his presence never abandons his people. Are you trusting in him? Listen to how the hymn writer puts it. A sovereign protector I have. Unseen, yet forever at hand. Unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. So listen to this, the hymn writer imagining and thinking. He says, I muse on the years that are past. I think about, he says, all the years of my life, wherein my defense you have proved. I look back in my life and I think, oh yes, that was God's intervention when I felt alone. When I felt I was being overwhelmed. When I felt I was being engulfed. when I felt trapped, when I felt there was no hope. God came, my defense. You will not relinquish, you will not leave, you won't forsake at last a sinner so signally loved. And why is the psalmist talking about God like that? He's saying because he knows something of being surrounded with God's walls of salvation. The hymn writer is talking of the experience of the psalmist here in New Testament terms. It's Romans chapter 8 where Paul writes, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him," Jesus, "up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" That's it, says the Bible. Grasp it this morning. Hold on to it. That God, if you're trusting in him through his son, Jesus Christ, he is committed to you in his covenant of grace, committing himself unequivocally, absolutely, never changing to the good of the people for whom he sent his son, Jesus Christ. The Savior who died on the cross, rose from the dead, promises and assures eternal life to all who trust in him. This God, this Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, by trusting in him, you can know this God with you, on your side. Who wrote this psalm, Psalm 124? A song of ascents, a song that they sang as they made their way up to Jerusalem, of David. David, who worked for a megalomaniac, Saul. "Where would I be," says David, "if God was not on my side?" David, whose own son was murderous. David says, "But my help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth." See what David is doing. You think of the ways in which in David's life he could have been swallowed up. He could have been engulfed. He could have been trapped. But now, says David, "I'm trusting in the God of grace." The God of grace who has made a covenant that is ordered and sure. That's the source of David's assurance. It's not his own strength. It's not his own cleverness. It's not his own power. No wonder he can say, as he does in verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord." I wonder if you can say that this morning. "Blessed be the Lord," you say. "Oh, if God had not intervened in my life." But he has intervened. "Blessed be the Lord." It'd be a great thing if God could call that sort of thanksgiving forth from your heart and from mine. You think, if it hadn't been for the God of grace intervening, operating in our lives, where would we be? But blessed be God, praise God, every step of the way, ever since I've trusted in him, this God has never left me, not abandoned me, not forsaken me. The God of glory on the side of his people, the God of grace. Now I'm saying this morning, do you know this God of grace with you? So that you go out and you say, "Now this week, the most difficult thing I'm going to face, the earthquake, the flood, the trap, whatever it is, but I know the Lord on my side." Sometimes, you know, Christians get ill. Sometimes facing difficulties. There are Christians in the world this morning who face martyrdom for the sake of their faith. But let's not lose sight of this. In the difficulties, in the problems, in the trials. In them, not always delivered out of them, of course. Sometimes we are too short-sighted. Sometimes we are not patient enough. But to remember the Lord on our side, God with us, more than conquerors, through him who loved us, in all these things. That you can say this morning too, "Our help, my help, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Let's come to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for this mighty deliverance that the psalmist could speak of. The way God had intervened in his life. when we imagine, where would we be this morning were it not for the Lord? The Lord intervening in grace and love and mercy. We too, like the psalmist. Well, where would we be? But we thank you, Lord, that with this assurance through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have found, since trusting in that mighty Savior, that as a Savior was promised to be with his people in all the difficulties and, yes, even all the trials of this life, so that the Christian can say this morning, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so we go out this morning, Lord, with that assurance that we do have a sovereign protector. Hear us as we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sing as a closing hymn, number 606, which is Top Lady's hymn of this assurance and hope in the Christian life. A sovereign protector I have unseen, yet forever at hand. 606, and again we'll stand to sing. May grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and all God's people, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.